Before I went back to the UK, I did promise to teach through the book of Revelation. And because of communion this morning and in terms of time, I felt it best to give an introduction to the book of Revelation and to start teaching from chapter 1 next week. For those of you who are excited about the book of Genesis, we will continue with Genesis and we'll be working through Revelation and Genesis over the next probably couple of years. But also I'm thinking about teaching through Mark's Gospel once a month at our communion time. So do pray about that. I want to be able to present one of the Gospels interwoven between the teaching in Genesis and Revelation. So we start today with just an introduction to the book of Revelation. Now, the book of Revelation was written by the Apostle John. Now, four times in the book, he identifies himself as the author. In chapter 1 and verse 1, it says, "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants things which must shortly take place, and he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John." And also in chapter 22, verses 8, it also mentions that. So four times, although I've only quoted those two. Now, John also wrote the Gospel of John, which we've covered, and three other letters, which we call 1, 2, and 3 John. And this man, John, had a very close relationship with Jesus, and he has been described as the disciple whom Jesus loved. So five times John describes himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. And John took over the pastoral work in Ephesus about 70 AD, so 70 years after the death of Christ. And this includes the churches in the surrounding area. And these are the seven churches mentioned in Revelation. So these were real churches at the time. So when John wrote this book, these churches were operating around the area around Ephesus. And at the time of John writing this book, there was real persecution amongst Christians, similar to what is happening in Muslim countries today. The Emperor Nero started persecuting the Christians, and later Domitian became emperor, and he intensified it. And this emperor, Domitian, has been described as a cold-blooded murderer. And he was the worst person that you will ever find in the pages of history. So when John was writing this letter, it was the worst time in history for Christians. And it was Domitian who sent John to the island of Patmos. Now, the island of Patmos is a small, rocky island. It's only 10 miles long, 6 miles wide, and it is situated in the Aegean Sea. Now, I've been to Athens many times, and I've traveled around by boat to some of these islands. I never went to Patmos because it's too far, but I've been to a lot of the other islands, so I can imagine what it was like for John to be isolated in this rocky island. You can actually go to Patmos today if you want to and see where John was when he wrote this book. Now, on the island of Patmos, there was a prison camp where the prisoners labored in mines. And it was on this isolated spot that John received the visions that make up the book that we call Revelation. And he wrote it down about 95 AD. So I just want to go through the book and give you a taster of what to expect. First of all, I want to talk about the character of the book of Revelation. Now, the book of Revelation, for many Christians and pastors, is a very difficult book to understand. It's also a very controversial book, where Christians will differ in their interpretation. And this often influences pastors not to teach from the book, and therefore many congregations have not had it taught from the beginning right through to the end. Sometimes they'll do the seven churches and then finish because it's too difficult. Now, I just want to present to you the way in which I'm going to teach Revelation, but also the way in which other people may look at Revelation, which I don't feel is correct. First of all, some people take what is called the preterist approach to the book of Revelation. It comes from a Latin word meaning past, and they do not see Revelation as future prophecy, but as a historical record of events in first century Roman Empire. Now, it's very difficult to justify this approach when we come to chapters 6 to 19. It's okay in the first few chapters, but when you get to chapter 6, it's very difficult to justify this something that's happened in the past. Secondly, some people see the book of Revelation in a historical way. This is the view that sees Revelation as a record of church history from New Testament to our present day. And scholars have tried to identify actual situations in history and measure them alongside the book. The problem is this view ignores the fact that the actual book claims to be prophetic. Okay, so it doesn't quite fit. Then thirdly, there's the idealist or the spiritual or the symbolic way of looking at Revelation. Now, these students abandon the idea of prophecy completely and use Revelation as a symbolic presentation of the conflict between Jesus and Satan and good and evil. Okay, so those are three ways of looking at it. Then there is the futuristic view. This is the view that interprets Revelation as prophecy. Now, in chapter 6 to chapter 22 describes events that will happen on this earth and in heaven after the church is raptured. Now, only this approach allows the book of Revelation to be interpreted in the literal, grammatical, historical, and hermeneutical way that we understand the rest of the Bible. So I'll be interpreting Revelation the way I interpret the whole Bible, okay? Now, all other ways of looking at Revelation require a different approach from the way we understand the rest of the Bible. So I'll be teaching the book of Revelation as a future prophecy, something that is going to happen here on this earth in the future. Now, this is why I take the futurist approach, because it's the way that best fits into the way that we see the Bible as a whole. Apart from that, when the Bible says that the book is prophecy, then I expect it to be just that, prophetic in nature. Now, I'm going to highlight seven things about Revelation that will give you a picture about the book, and the headings will be on the screen. A little bit like a taster. When you go to a supermarket and they're selling a new product, they normally have a tray of samples and you can taste them. So today I'm giving you a taster or a sample of what is going to be happening in the book of Revelation. First of all, we must never forget as we go through the book of Revelation that it is a book with Jesus Christ at the center. Revelation is a book that is all about Jesus Christ. And we discover in the first few words of the book that it's all about Jesus Christ. When we read verses 1 and 2, it talks about the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants things which must shortly take place. And we'll go into the Greek on that to understand it a bit better next week. And he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ to all things that he saw. So Jesus Christ is central to the book of Revelation. So we mustn't go out off on tangents. Every time we come to a chapter in Revelation, we have to focus on Jesus Christ and how Jesus Christ fits in to this prophecy. So Jesus Christ is central to the book of Revelation, and the book describes Jesus Christ through the titles given to him. So in the book of Revelation, there are about 50 titles that are given to Jesus Christ. So it's amazing Christology. If you want to know about Jesus Christ, he's got 50 titles in Revelation. Just going to look at a few. In verse 5, Jesus is described as the faithful witness. Chapter 1, verse 5, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness. He's also described as the firstborn from the dead. We know that's to do with his resurrection. He's described as the ruler of the kings of the earth. Jesus Christ is the ruler of the kings of the earth. In verse 8, he's described as the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And in verse 18, he's described as the living one. I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of Hades and the keys of death. So if you want to put Jesus into an outline of the book of Revelation, it could be done like this. In chapter 1, Jesus Christ is the risen priest king. In chapter 2 and 3, Jesus Christ examines the churches. Be prepared for OIC to be examined by Jesus Christ. Chapter 4 and 5, he receives worship and praise. Chapter 6 to 19, he judges the world and returns in glory. And chapter 20 to 22, he reigns in glory and power. So the book of Revelation is all about Jesus. So as we go through the book of Revelation, you'll be discovering more and more and more about Jesus Christ. So look for Jesus Christ everywhere in the book of Revelation. That's the first thing I want to tell you about Revelation. The second thing, it is a book that is based on the Old Testament scriptures. It is impossible to understand the book of Revelation without referring to the Old Testament scriptures. Now, out of the 404 verses in Revelation, 278 are references to the Old Testament. So nearly 75% of the book of Revelation refers to the Old Testament. So if we want to understand Revelation, we need a clear understanding of some Old Testament books that John refers to the most. These are the Psalms. We need to understand the Psalms. We need to understand the book of Daniel. We need to understand the book of Zechariah. We've got to understand the book of Genesis, the book of Isaiah, the book of Jeremiah, the book of Ezekiel, and the book of Joel. Now, as we study Revelation, we're not going to do it in isolation from the rest of the Bible. And sometimes we will have to refer back to the Old Testament so that we can put the context with God's word in the bigger picture. So we've got to understand what is happening at the time, but we also have to understand what was happening in the Old Testament that John was referring to. So they didn't have the New Testament. John was writing this at the time. So he was referring to things in the Old Testament scriptures. So as we go through Revelation, we're going to understand some difficult prophetic books in the Old Testament. So you're going to be educated about some heavy stuff in the Old Testament, especially in Zechariah and Ezekiel. So it's a book that with Jesus Christ at the center. It's a book that's based on Old Testament scriptures. Thirdly, it's a prophetic book. I'm going to read three verses that highlight the prophetic nature of the book. I'm going to quote from the New King James Version of the Bible. Chapter 1, verse 3 says, "Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy." So, future prophetic. Chapter 10, verses 11, it says, "And he said to me, 'You must prophesy again about many peoples, nations, tongues,'" that's languages, "and kings." Chapter 22, verse 7, it says, "Behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book." So we are promised a blessing if we keep the words of the prophecy of Revelation. So I am looking forward to God blessing me as I preach it, but I'm looking forward to you being blessed as you hear the book of Revelation, and I'll open that up a bit more next week. Fourthly, it is a book that contains lots of symbols and numbers. It's not a symbolic book, but it is a book that contains symbols and numbers. And sometimes the book uses signs and symbols to convey its message. Some of them are explained, and some of them are not explained. And some of them are explained by referring to Old Testament parallels. So to understand some of these signs and symbols, we have to understand what they mean in the Old Testament books. So that's going to be quite interesting as we bounce back to the Old Testament. I'll just read one of them just to give you an idea. Revelation chapter 2, verses 7 says, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." So what is the tree of life? Well, if we go back to Genesis chapter 2, verse 9, Genesis chapter 3, verses 22, it says this, "And out of the ground the Lord God made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life." So, reference to the tree of life in Genesis. "The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of the good of evil." So we're talking about a specific tree, but we have to go back to Genesis to discover about that tree. Then in Genesis 3:22 it says, "Then the Lord God said, 'Behold, the man has become like one of us, to know good and evil, and now lest he put out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever.'" So those two references will help us understand when there's a reference to the tree of life. Now this symbolism would be clear to the first century Christians, but it would not make any sense to the Roman persecutors. So we must keep in mind that the symbols in Revelation speak of reality. Okay? In the same way that a flag speaks of the existence of a nation, congratulations to Japan, the Olympic Games, when we see the flag, we know it's Japan, okay? We don't have to have it explained. We may have to have the red circle explained, although when you see the sun, it's quite clear, the land of the rising sun. So when we see a flag, we know it represents a country. So when we have a symbol in Revelation, it represents something. And we need to understand that. Now, as well as symbols, numbers occur often in the book. There's a series of sevens, seven churches, the seven seals, the seven trumpets, the seven vials, and the seven lampstands. So that number seven, we should know that the number seven is the number of perfection, and that's God's perfection number. Number 12 appears a lot, and multiples of 12 in the book. 12 stars, 12 gates, 12 foundations. But they all mean something. And we have to understand the meaning based upon the Old Testament and the context of the book. So, difficult with the symbols and numbers, but they all mean something, and we've got to search the scriptures to find the meaning, because the answer is always in the text. The answer is always in the Bible. Okay? It's not something that I'll dream up. We're not going to work out when the world's going to come to an end and all these things, and we're not going to discover who the Antichrist is and all these other things. We're going to actually find out what the Bible teaches. Number five, Revelation is a sympathetic book. Throughout this book, we can see the suffering of God's people and the compassion of heaven for the people of God on this earth. So as we go through Revelation, we can sense the heartbeat of God for people who suffer. This was the worst period in church history for Christian suffering, and so this book was reaching out to people who suffered. John himself was on this desert island suffering, and so the book will act as an encouragement for people who are going through difficult times. We know that the church in Smyrna will face imprisonment, Revelation 2 verses 10, chapter 6 verses 9 to 10, the souls under the altar cry for God's judgment. And then in chapter 17 verse 6 it says, the great harlot, the prostitute, has drunk the blood of the saints. And in spite of all this, God will judge the world and save his people. So this book of Revelation sympathizes with God's people here on earth in this terrible place that is not heaven. And it's a place where many Christians have suffered and will suffer. Number six, Revelation is a climactic book. Revelation is the climax of the Bible, and it shows the fulfillment of the plan and purposes of God. We were studying Genesis, and we will finish the book of Genesis. We'll study the whole book of Revelation, so we'll see the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. Number seven, and I close here finally, Revelation is a book that is going to bless you. We all want to be spiritually blessed in these days. Revelation chapter 1, verse 3, blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy, and those and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. Revelation 22 verse 7, behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the word of the prophecy of the book. So if you know and love the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior, you are in for a personal blessing from the book of Revelation. So this autumn, open your heart to be blessed by God through the teaching of the book of Revelation. But maybe you don't know Jesus yet. Maybe you will be persuaded to trust Jesus as you hear the prophecy through the book of Revelation. Maybe you'll be persuaded to realize what life's all about, to receive the Lord Jesus, to repent of your sin. And because this is our communion service, this is just an introduction to the book, and next week we will go through the whole of chapter 1 of Revelation. So I hope that this taster of the book of Revelation will encourage you, that we're going to go through a book that's very challenging, very difficult to understand, but I'm going to make it very simple. And I hope that Yuko will be able to translate it into Japanese, because that'll be a difficult thing. It's difficult to write it in English, but to translate it. So pray for Yuko as she translates it every week into Japanese, because I think it's a book that not many people will understand in English, in their own language, but it's a book that God is going to bless you. So do pray for that as we work through it. And then when we've come to the end of the seven churches, I'm going to go back and do Genesis for a while, because we've left it in a difficult part, and we're going to finish that and then come and finish Revelation. So there's an introduction to the book. I hope you're as excited as I am about going through it together, and I trust that we'll be blessed of God. So let's pray now. Come before the Lord Jesus. Let's pray.